Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Each and every day here on the Jeff Calkins Show, we welcome Chris Harrington to the program. Let's fire it up. Chris, what are we listening to?
That is Mendocino by the Sir Douglas Quintet. I think late 60s Tex-Mex rock, but about a region of Northern California. Not a lot of Sacramento songs.
Nah.
So we'll just give some Northern California music to welcome the Sacramento Kings to town.
Yeah, it's just the main thing is just make sure it's not like Bay Area. Just go at least go north of
That's
the
right.
Bay. Just because
That's right.
I don't think people realize like the Bay Area we considered NorCal, but it's like it's kind of in the middle part of the state. There's a lot of that state way up above it. But I don't know if you've seen the news, so pour out one for all business lunches. Houston's on their website announces, after much deliberation, we have closed our Memphis Houston's. Here is the statement, Chris, they put on their website. You ready?
Yeah.
Regretfully, the operating environment in the vicinity has become increasingly difficult over the years, both with respect to staffing and public safety. While we know this development may be disappointing to many of our guests, it is a decision that was not made lightly. We'd like to thank our guests for their support, and we hope to have the opportunity to serve you at another one of our locations. Like, there's no restaurant that hates their customers more than Houston, so I did feel like that was just like one last kick in the nuts.
I mean, not to be glib about a tragic situation, but I mean, Houston's closing is going to shake the East Memphis business class to its very core.
How many real estate deals will not get done?
Right. It's funny, Houston's, like, I don't think I've been to Houston's since I've moved back to Memphis as a grown-up.
Yeah.
But I went to Houston's a lot, like, when middle school, high school era. That was sort of like, oh, we're going out for a fancy dinner.
Yeah, it was like the restaurant.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't think I knew until I was an adult that Houston's is a chain.
Yes, they try to not brand it a local Memphis restaurant. No, they try to not brand it as such. It's the Hillstone
right.
Group. It's a independently owned portfolio, and they have them around the country. I do know that this was true once upon a time. The Memphis Houston's was the most profitable in their portfolio, but Hillstone is very uppity, if you will, and they didn't
right.
like being where they want to be in the big cities. And I mean, in fairness, like the one in Nashville, I don't know, closed 15, 20 years ago. Like, so it's not like.
This is why it's kind of surprising to me, because I mean, I wonder if there were any like chain restaurants like anywhere in the country that were as like highly regarded in the city of the franchise as like the Houstons and East Memphis. You know, it felt like such an East Memphis institution. It never even occurred to me that there was more than one of them somewhere, you know, until I was an adult.
And they also, they brand themselves differently in different markets. Like sometimes it'll be Hillstone, sometimes it'll be Houston's.
Okay.
They intentionally do that for a branding purpose. Like they want it to feel like that it's not a chain. So therefore that is part of their marketing strategy.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak to whatever's. Who knows? I mean, what was the language they used? Staffing and what do they call it? They didn't say
staffing and safety. I think
safety. Okay. So like, I mean, who knows? Like, I'm not there. I'm not managing that place. I don't own that place, so I can't really say. But I can't imagine. I think both of those things have been issues, both in Memphis
everywhere.
And in the country. But I don't. Or is it a bigger issue now than it was a year ago? Like, I have a hard time believing that. And so, yeah, I don't know.
Can we all trace this back to, this was the day they got rid of the chicken tenders. It was the beginning of the end.
The chicken tenders. Yeah, it could be. I don't know. I think I always splurged on the steak. Of course, I was never paying the tab.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I've ever had the chicken tenders at Houston's.
It's perfect. My dad was like, hey, let's go to lunch tomorrow. And he goes, let's go to Houston's at 11:30. And I was like, we're going to have to find a new spot, Dad. I was like,
Hey, there's a void for someone to fill, you know, and yeah. Not everyone can fit into like, you know, Seasons 52 or whatever.
Yeah, there we go. So again, that's the news from the Hillstone Group that Houston's is effective immediately, permanently closed, according to their website. All right, let's talk some Grizzlies. And before we get into your mailbag, which is available for subscribers over at Daily Memphian, so make sure you go subscribe and check that out. This was something Giannotto was texting me about, and I know we've talked about it a little bit, but I'm curious to know, now that we've seen basically a quarter of the season, on the likelihood that the Grizzlies will make a deal before the deadline, where are you kind of putting that on your radar?
I am sub 50% on that. A, it's a lot easier to not make a trade than to make a trade.
Right.
You're making a trade, you have to take action. It's easier to not take action in all things. The other thing is that they're like, you know, they're only, I'd have to look at my spreadsheets or whatever, but they're like, I don't know, a couple million below the luxury tax, maybe. Like, they're pretty close to it. And I just don't, I no longer believe this team is going to pay tax. Like, I'll believe it when I see it at this point. And so that makes deals harder. I think the thing to watch, A, you know, obviously there's the injury question, and to see, you know, hopefully, you know, they're in pretty good shape right now. So still got three really talented young players unavailable, but all sort of on pace to get back. And so knock on wood, like you know, that's not a real issue for the team going forward, although it has been certainly in the past. But that's sort of hard to project. The main thing I would look at right now is, to me, the Marcus Smart, Brandon Clark thing, and particularly the Marcus Smart thing. Like, do they believe Marcus Smart could be part of an effective playoff rotation for them? And I think since we're talking in the wake of the Dallas game, 95% of listeners are probably saying no right now. But I don't think it's at all that clear. But I don't think it's clear either way. Like, I don't think it's a clear yes or a clear no. And I think that is something they really have to make a decision about in the next 2 months ahead of the trade deadline. And if they believe the answer to that is no, or they're not confident that Marcus Smart could be an effective part of their playoff rotation, I think you got to look at like using that contract in a trade. I don't think you can have that $20 million of cap on this roster in a veteran who's not in your playoff rotation.
So I'm looking up, this is according to Spotrac, or however you say it. Right now, they're $6 million under the first apron, 16.8 under the second apron.
I'm looking at the tax line. I'm looking at the tax line, not the apron line. I don't think they're going into the tax.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I mean, basically, wasn't like Luke Kennard's deal basically like whatever was left before the line? Like, I kind of thought they were like up against it.
They were up against it, and they went ahead and did the Huff deal instead of waiting, which took on a little bit more than they could have otherwise, just because they liked him. They wanted to wrap him up, which I think was a fine decision. And so they are under it, but they are not. There's not a lot of wiggle room. I don't know the exact number, but there's not a lot of wiggle room there.
How likely do you think it is that they would move Marcus Smart before testing the theory in a playoff series?
Oh, I think if it's not going well over the next 2 months, I think they'd probably be willing to do so. I think if it's going well, then they'll probably want to test it in a playoff setting.
Right.
But I think if things are going poorly, and again, the Dallas game was terrible, but he'd been good for like 4 or 5 games in a row before that. He hasn't actually played that much. He's played like 30 total games. I think the jury should still be out on this question. But I don't think it's simple as nothing matters between now and the playoffs. We want to see it in the playoffs. I don't think that would be the case, no.
On Tuesday, they closed, right, with Ja, Dez, Marcus, Jaren, and Brandon, correct?
Santi.
Oh, Santi.
No, Santi.
Okay.
So that's the second game in a row. They have not played. I saw something on social media today about the Grizzlies. It was like one of these Twitter feed things that is like, you know, presents itself as some official thing.
Yeah,
if you know
yeah.
who it is.
Well, one of the aggregators is there.
Yeah, yeah. It was one of these things. And it was like Grizzlies have the worst clutch offense, clutch net rating in the league. And in the picture on the tweet was Marcus Smart. It was kind of mean. Well, the Grizzlies have played the second fewest clutch minutes in the league.
Right.
They basically have not been in close games. So I throw that out. I've actually been tracking that. And to me, the sample's too small to mean anything. So they haven't played a lot of games that have been tight down the stretch. But the last two they played, Dallas, and then the game against New Orleans was like a 10-point game with 6 minutes to go. And both of those, they came back to Ja, Dez, Jaren, Marcus Smart, Santi Aldama.
And so I kept wondering, part of the down the stretch beyond the Grizzlies not making winning basketball plays, I did feel like Dallas got some second and third shot attempts. Do you think
right.
the fact that that's not a particularly big lineup and the fact that that's not a particularly formidable rebounding lineup, do you think that had anything to do with it, or do you think, man, it was a close game, some bounces went one way or the other?
Well, I mean, there was a long list of problems for the Grizzlies in that game. Rebound, there's so many other problems, sort of hard to focus on the rebounding. I do think this is one of the reasons my theoretical, you know, ideal for this team has been Vince Williams Jr. Over Marcus Smart, over Jalen Wells, over whoever, is that I think the biggest clear difference to me between Vince Williams and Marcus Smart is rebounding, and it's a vast difference.
Yeah.
Vince Williams rebounds like a power forward, and Marcus Smart rebounds like a guy who's 6'2".
Yeah.
You know, which
like,
is what he is.
Like a point guard.
Yeah. And so that is one of the reasons I have favored in a theoretical sense, and now he's been hurt again, and like, who knows? But the idea of Vince Williams in that spot is what I favor, and one of the reasons I favor that is, A, I think he's probably even better on ball defense than Marcus Smart at this point, but I also think he's just a vastly better rebounder. And I think, to your point, whatever lineup they're putting out there, I mean, it's a little bit better if you're closing with Zach Edey and Jaren, because that's really big. But otherwise, I think that extra rebounding is something they could really use, and that's why I've tended to favor Vince Williams in part.
With Vince and the injury, do you think we're going to have enough time whenever he does return before the deadline is there going to be enough time to make like a decision that could sway you one way or the other about whether or not you need to make a move?
You know, it's not clear when he's returning. I
right.
think, unlike, he may be back before GG, but it's less clear.
Right. We got it. We got a GG update. That's what, 6 to 8 weeks now.
Yeah. And it was returned to play in
right.
6 to 8 weeks. Right. The Vince Williams thing was not a return to play. It was, we'll be reevaluated in a month. But that could mean he's back in a month. It's a sprained ankle, right? It's
yeah.
a bad sprained ankle, but it's a sprained ankle. So he could be back, you know, Christmas or right after. Or it could linger further than that. It's unclear to me. If he's back, you know, by the 1st of January, you got a good solid month to take a look at that. I feel like even though Vince Williams has not actually played that much NBA basketball, and even though he has now missed a lot of time with two different injuries, including all of training camp,
yeah,
I just, my sense is that there's just a lot of organizational belief in Vince Williams, that they are like sold on what he is. And so I think he is someone, like the Gigi Jackson thing, it's going to be interesting to see if he can work his way back in the mix. I think Vince Williams Jr., when he's ready to play, will be back in the mix, period. It's my much.
How do you think, when Gigi does return, how do you think they're going to implement him?
I think it depends on what's going on around him. Like, you know, are there other injuries? Are the guys playing poorly? I think if the team is healthy and playing well, and like, got, you know, Santi's playing well, and Jake LaRavia's playing well, and Jalen Wells is playing well, and Vince, I think it's hard. I don't necessarily assume that a healthy Gigi Jackson is in the rotation the next day. I think he may be in a situation where he has to wait for an opportunity to pop up, and then he has to try to seize the opportunity. I don't think it's a given this season. No, I think he's a major piece for the Grizzlies going forward, and he'll be treated that way going into next season. But I think this season it's really up in the air. I think it's a thing. Gigi Jackson getting back into the rotation for the Grizzlies is a thing that could happen. But unlike Vince Williams, I don't think it's a thing they're going to go out of their way to make happen. I think it really depends on the circumstances.
All right, let's get a little flavor from the mailbag again. Everybody should go subscribe to the Daily Memphian so that you can read Chris's mailbag. But I like the question that you started with, because this is one that I get asked as well, but I'm much more interested in what you have to think. What overall grade would you give the Grizzlies at this stage of the season?
I went with an A- on that one. I mean, from a distance, it's pretty great. You know, they're 14-8. They're top, I think they're fifth on offense and seventh on defense. That's of today. It may have been different when I wrote the mailbag yesterday. and they've done all that despite only having their top three players on the floor for like five full games. I think they have still had as many games missed to injury as almost any team in the league. I think they're, you know, top three or four in terms of missed games. And to still be there, it's pretty great. But the but there is that they have played a pretty easy schedule. And when you look at specifically at the close games and the games against tougher competition, it's not as sharp. And so I think I sort of said something like this on the show yesterday. The first test was return to being a good regular season team. You put the past behind you and we're back. I think they passed the first test. The next test is harder, and that is really going toe-to-toe against the best teams in tougher, tighter situations and looking more like a playoff level, a good playoff level team. And I think that's still something they're working to put together.
And I guess that's kind of the other questions, right? How many opportunities have they really had? I mean, I think that's why, like, Tuesday night, I found myself getting more into the game because the environment and who was on the floor. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that was a regular season game. I get it, but you could tell the crowd was into it. It was a loud environment. You're playing the defending Western Conference champions at their place. They're basically at full strength. You were at full strength as much as you've been this year. And that's kind of why I was like more into it. It's like, all right, this to me feels like it's going to actually give me some data, if you will, of what they actually are.
That game, and maybe this is recency bias, but in the moment, because I had the same sense as you, that game, that was game number 22, right? The 14-8. That game made the previous 21 games feel kind of like extended preseason.
Yes.
You know, that was sort of like, okay, we're getting everything together, and we're sort of putting stuff together, and that game against Dallas felt like, okay, now it starts getting real. And you got a mixed return on the real, right? You got three good quarters and one bad one. And we'll see going forward. I think at Boston's a pretty tough spot for anybody, particularly for the Grizzlies team, which I think is not matched up well with Boston, given, you know, their perimeter size on defense and what they can do with John Morant and Desmond Bane. So I wouldn't put too much into that game, but I think, you know, the schedule is still not super hard the next two or three weeks, but then it really tightens up. But I think going forward, you're going to have a much higher frequency of like tougher games and games that get higher levels of competition.
How concerning should the fourth quarter be? Because that's kind of where I struggle, because on the one hand, like you said, if you take this as just a test, well, if you were grading it in the entirety, it's like I honestly think there was as much good as there was concerning, but there is also the idea of, all right, games get decided in the fourth quarter, and this is a league where the talent is dispersed. And it's kind of, what do you do in those situations? And they clearly didn't pass that portion of the test. But I didn't really know, like, what was the appropriate weight that you should give to what you watch. And it's one game. But I was curious how you felt.
Well, I'll go back to what I said a little bit earlier, where the Grizzlies have had played the second fewest, you know, quote-unquote clutch. Clutch, by the NBA definition, is, excuse me, last 5 minutes of a game, score within, like, 5 points, right?
Yeah, I think it's five and five.
Yeah, they have played the second fewest clutch minutes in the entire league. Like, it was somewhere like 20 minutes total. So it's just not enough yet. And so I think that fourth quarter against Dallas is meaningful, but it's meaningful that is waiting for more meaningful data to be added to it. And so to me, I stick a pin at it, and you're waiting to see some kind of pattern, right?
Sure.
If what happened in that fourth quarter becomes a pattern of recurring problems in similar situations, that's when you really get concerned about it. I think for now it's, that didn't look great. Let's see what happens next time this comes around, you know?
You got another question about Zach Edey. The broadcast seemed to feel like, hey, this is trending to sooner rather than later. We do know that he will be out tonight. I think the question that I'm more interested in is kind of the one you got. When he is available to return, how do you think they will utilize him?
Oh, I think he'll go back to where he was at the time he got injured. And remember, they had already made the starting lineup change.
Yep.
Brandon Clark didn't move into the starting lineup because Zach Edey got injured. They made that change several games before that, based on just the way they wanted to construct, you know, their lineups and rotations over the course of 48 minutes. And they've had good returns on that, both, you know, before and during Zach Edey's injury. So I assume he will go back into the rotation. I think Jay Huff stepped up at the Zach Edey spot, and Zach Edey will reclaim that spot off the bench. But I don't see any changes to the starting lineup, at least in the front court, until injury or performance dictates, and that is not the case right now.
They have the Kings tonight. It's, you know, it's been a game that De'Aaron Fox takes very seriously, and he's had some very good games against the Grizzlies. Vibes are maybe not great up in California's capital, but I don't know. To me, like, this is a kind of another test, much like we saw Tuesday. And, like, I do kind of look at, like, Tuesday night, tonight, and the Boston game. Like, I think that's a pretty good sample, because while maybe the Kings aren't a quote-unquote playoff team right now, it is certainly a team that has been a matchup problem at times. Kind of how do you see it tonight?
Yeah, I mean, that's a team that's three all-star caliber players, and De'Aaron Fox, DeMontis Sabonis, and DeMar DeRozan, all having good seasons individually. That team has a losing record right now, but they have a positive point differential. They're probably a little bit better team over the course of the season than their record indicates. They've lost some close games, but they've been struggling of late. I think they've lost six of the last eight. And I was skeptical of the Kings coming in because I thought the DeRozan, DeMontis Sabonis thing would be hinky on offense, because they sort of do the same, similar kind of stuff, even though they play different positions. I don't think that's really been the problem, though. The problem is that, and I thought defensively DeRozan wouldn't help a team that already wasn't that well set up defensively. Now, that's been the case. The defense is the offense is top 10, the defense is around 20th. So the defense has not been good. But I think the real problem there is that team is really shallow. Like, if you look at their box scores and look at over the course of the season, it's basically a six-man team. It's those three stars and then, like, three good role players in Keegan Murray, Malik Monk, and Kevin Herter. And, like, the bottom half of the roster has done basically nothing. And there are a lot of games lately where they basically don't play anyone else other, you know, more than 10 minutes. And so, you know, this might be a pretty good test of the Grizzlies, like, our depth will wear you down concept. So if that's going to work, this is the kind of team where you would think it might work because of their lack of depth. But Sabonis is someone – it's sort of be nice to have Zach Edey back in this game, because Sabonis is someone who's really dominated the boards and matchups with the Grizzlies in the past when Steven Adams wasn't available.
Yeah.
De'Aaron Fox has been a tough matchup for Ja. So I do think Fox and Sabonis are, like, worrisome players for the Grizzlies.
And then you kind of got asked this question, but I'll phrase it this way. What's the best way to monitor Desmond Bane right now?
I mean, there's nothing we can do about it but watch, right?
That's what I'm saying. So I feel like we can kind of make too much, or, you know, like, how are you watching it is the better question.
So, I mean, he had a pretty good game, certainly better than what his recent norm has been against Dallas. That's the main. I got asked one of the questions was like, are we sure he's not hurt? And my response is, no, we're not sure about this at all.
He's been hurt every year.
Desmond Bane said the injury is not impacting him right now, and Taylor Jenkins has said the injury is not impacting him right now, and I do not believe them. I think the injury is impacting him. I think if you look at his stat line, it was only five games, but still, you look at his stat line pre-injury and his stat line since he's been back, it is vastly different, specifically around shooting. And, like, his rebound assist stuff is fine. It's the shooting, and I just have to assume there's something about the shooting motion and, like, that raise, that the way your body moves, you think about the oblique and you think about a shooting motion, it would make sense that, like, that would sort of impact you on your shooting motion. I just have to assume that's happening. And so the question for me, and obviously he can't make it worse by playing, otherwise he would not be playing.
Right.
And so my question is it something that will the healing continue and it will get better? Or is it something that he'll just get used to and he'll become more effective because he's gotten used to it? And the answer could be either of those. If the answer is neither of those, it's a problem. But I think if it's either one, either it heals, it keeps healing, or he gets used to it, then it will become less of a problem. And so I'm just watching game by game and waiting for it to become less of a problem. But I think it is a problem.
All right, we'll wrap here. Parker Fleming asked you your core four of Christmas movies. Can you give us the core four?
Yeah, I did two like old movies. And my definition of old is different than other people's definition of old. I find increasingly some people think like the 1980s is old. That is not my frame. So to me, old is like pre-1970. That's sort of my demarcation of modern or not modern in movies.
Right.
So I got two old and two new, newer. And my olds are Meet Me in St. Louis and It's a Wonderful Life. And my new are Gremlins and Elf.
Have you seen The Muppet Christmas Carol?
Yeah, but it's been a long time. And so I don't have a fresh memory of that. That is not one that's been like Meet Me in St. Louis and Elf are both movies that my family rewatches a lot around the holidays. And obviously It's a Wonderful Life, I've been watching that every year, like since I was 10 or whatever. The Muppet Christmas Carol I've seen like twice, but probably not in 10 years. So it's not fresh for me.
It's one of those ones where I acknowledge I'm predisposed to I'm a Muppets fan. But Michael Caine acting like that he's doing like a West End version of the Christmas Carol while Gonzo and Rizzo are telling the story. Like, it's so funny. And it's, in terms of being like fairly like, honest or, fairly, what's the word I'm looking for? True to the source.
Right.
Like, it's pretty good. It's the one that I will ride or die for. Like, there's other movies, like, again, it's Christmas movies, so whatnot, but it's like, I just think that it's laugh out loud funny and it's good.
No, that's a good note. I need to rewatch that. Maybe I'll track that down and we'll do that this year. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Mr. Dickens. All right, Chris, we really appreciate it, my man.
All right, thanks.
That is Chris Harrington of the Daily Memphian. Go subscribe to the Daily Memphian and read Chris's mailbag. It is up over there. Always appointment reading. It is that time. It's Thursday. That means it's Writer Than Right Trivia. Kevin Cerrito is going to join the program. Got a double prize. We have two tickets to go see Ellie and Drew Holcomb's Neighborhood Christmas at the Orpheum Theater on December the 18th, as well as tickets to 901 Wrestling's first show of 2025. That will be January 5th. The phone number is 901-445-0929. 445-0929. We will take caller number two. You'll be our next contestant on Writer Than Right Trivia. It's coming up next, right here on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. It is. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thursday, so that means that we welcome to the program, of course, the master of fun and games here in Memphis. He's also the host of 901 Wrestling. You can also hear him every Wednesday on Jeffrey Wright and Company. He is my company on Wednesdays. The website is CerritoEntertainment.com. You can follow him on Twitter on X at Cerrito. Kevin, good day, sir.
Hey, good day to you, Jeffrey. Great to be back here for some Writer Than Right trivia. There's only three more of these competitions left in 2024. So we're running out of chances for folks to beat you. It's only happened in traditional play maybe three times this year. I know that October there was a victory. We'll see if today's contestant is going to be able to do that as we've entered Quizmas season. Merry Quizmas to you, Jeffrey, and everyone out there. We've got Christmas music bingo happening six nights a week in Memphis. Ooh. We've got holiday themed trivia that we call Quizmas happening on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. This year, we're at many new venues that we've never had Quizmas at before, including the recently rebranded Flyway Brewing Memphis. Are you aware of Flyway Brewing, Jeff?
No. What was rebranded?
High Cotton. High okay. Cotton.
Oh, yeah. So they sold to the Arkansas company, right?
Yeah. Merged, yeah. Some local ownership still involved in this, so you're still drinking local. But Flyway Brewing, they've got a kitchen that's amazing. They took over the Edge Alley space out there in the Edge District, which is right next door to the brewery. So there's like a restaurant side of the brewery now that just opened, and the food is amazing. These duck tenders, whoo! You got to get out there and try these, Jeffrey. But yeah, so that's out. Flyway Brewing Company will be there on Tuesdays. Continuing to play on Tuesdays. It was High Cotton, but now it's Flyway. We'll be there for Quizmas on Tuesday. But I highly recommend folks try that as you go downtown for events. It's real close, right off of Union Avenue there, or Madison, depending on your route. But yeah, so Quizmas going on. We've got Christmas music bingo tonight. Trivia. We'll have some questions here tonight that we've got. For today's trivia, as always, you'll be able to hear one or more of these questions. So I'm going to give you a sample, Jeffrey, of what Quizmas is all about here this morning. So we'll see if our contestant's able to
fired up
the prizes. Who we got?
Are you ready? Let's welcome to the program Russell in South Haven.
Hello.
Russell, good day. And I am now handing it over to Kevin. Kevin? It's all yours.
All right, let's do this. So yeah, so this is a sample. So Quizmas, we have questions about obviously about Christmas music, movies, and history and stuff like that. But also we have rounds that are inspired by the holiday. And today we're going to play a round that's inspired by the holiday called Silent Night. We're going to have every answer this round is going to start with a silent letter. So this is a Silent Night we're going to play in this morning today here on 92.9 ESPN. Every answer is going to start with a silent letter. As always, Russell, you get the choice of two categories. Whatever you don't choose will automatically go to Jeffrey. And you can steal from him one time if he misses and vice versa throughout the duration of the game. So remember, today we're playing Silent Night in honor of Quizmas. Do you want to start with boats or beaches, Russell? Which one, boats or beaches?
Let's go with beaches.
Going with beaches. We've got a large destructive tidal wave created by an earthquake is known by what Japanese loanword?
Tsunami.
Tsunami is correct. You got that silent letter. T-S-U-N-A-M-I. Tsunami. All right, Jeffrey, your categories were boats, beaches. If this was Jimmy Buffett trivia, it'd be boats, beaches, bars, and ballads, but it's not. It's
Rest
Silent Night. We've got boats for you, Jeffrey. What measurement of boat speed is a measure of 1 nautical mile per hour?
Knots.
Knots is correct. There's your silent letter right there. K-N-O-T. Silent Night here. As we go to movies or music, Russell?
Let's go music.
Music. My Sharona was a 1979 hit by what band with part of its name that starts with a silent letter?
Was it the Knacks?
That is Correct. You are correct. Yes. Yep. The next. So K, another silent K there. Jeffrey, you're going to go to the movies. It's a great time to go to the movies right now. Biggest Thanksgiving weekend ever. The box office. We've got Daniel Craig plays Private Detective Benoit Blanc in what 2019 murder mystery?
Knives Out.
Knives Out is correct. Another silent K here. As we continue the competition here, to food or fashion?
Food.
Food. What kind of thick Italian pasta is commonly made of flour and potato? Wheat flour and potato.
Gnocchi.
That is correct. There's your silent G at the beginning of that one. G-N-O-C-C-H-I. Over to you, Jeffrey. Oh, it was silent night here. What brand of clothing once sponsored Dale Earnhardt and shares its name with a traditionally unrelated but no less iconic model of vehicle?
All right, one more time. Well,
yes, lots of clues in this question here. What brand of clothing once sponsored Dale Earnhardt and shares its name with a totally unrelated but no less iconic model of vehicle? All right, silent night this in the morning here. All right. 10:43 a.m. Memphis, Tennessee time.
So... okay, is a model car, read me the car part of it.
Yes, so it's a brand of clothing that sponsored Dale Earnhardt, but that brand shares its name with a totally unrelated, but no less iconic model of vehicle. Is it an iconic model of vehicle we're looking for? Or there was also a brand of clothes sponsored by Dale, or tied in with Dale Earnhardt.
Oh, God.
Clothes and vehicle brand. Russell's on standby here.
Yeah, you know this one, Russell. This is not. I'm trying to think of cars with
good steel.
Yeah, with silent letters. I got nothing. I got nothing. Right, I don't want to guess.
All right, we got nothing there from Jeffrey.
Russell, do you want to steal?
No, I don't know either. That stumped me. I picked the right one then.
We're looking for Wrangler. Wrangler with the W at the front there.
Oh,
Wrangler.
God.
Jeans. Wrangler.
That's bad.
Wrangler.
That's
bad. Yeah. And what's going to history
or
science?
Space. God dog it.
It's one of those we talk about it quite often here. It's one of those questions you get live on the radio. It's harder than in a team setting at the bar or the restaurant. We go to history, or you would have figured it out at Flyway Brewing Company if you were asked that question. History or science for you, Russell?
Let's go with science.
Science. Mechanisms that are powered by liquids are called hydraulic. Mechanisms that are powered by compressed air are known by what other term?
Pneumatic.
Pneumatic is correct, with a silent P at the front. We're getting close to the end. Great game so far for Russell. Jeffrey, you get history. There's more than one way to spell it. What title was historically bestowed on the Emperor of the Russian Empire?
Tsar.
Tsar is correct. You have multiple silent letters you can choose from here. There's the T when you spell it with an S. There's the C when you spell it with the Z. And what's our score, Jeffrey?
Only 4-3.
One here. Only one question missed the entire game. It's one of the highest scoring games we have seen here, which is great if you still want to qualify for the NBA Cup. You got to win by a lot. Animals is the final category. What are we wagering, Russell? Jeff, are you going to send me your
wager? Yeah, put it in the chat.
Yeah.
I'll go with two.
There's really some strategy for the wager.
Yeah.
So we've got two for Jeffrey and two for Russell. Both being wagered. Do you want question A or B?
B.
B. What is the other name for the antelope known as a wildebeest?
Well, please.
2 points on the line for this question.
Yeah. And on a jackal, which is wrong, still, but
it's still right. Yeah, because we're still in Silent Night. Jackal is wrong. Jeffrey, do you want to steal?
Yep. Is that your final answer? Okay, yes. New.
New is correct. Jeffrey has stolen and taken the lead because we just went down from 4-2.
Yep.
And then, Jeffrey, you've gone up to 5. You cannot lose.
No, I can't.
Even if he steals.
Yeah, I can.
Can you?
Yeah, because if I would lose 2, and if he steals, he'd get 1. That'd be 3-2.
Okay, you can still. All right, there you go. This is what, you know, we got to keep. There's a lot going on here. We don't miss Calkins until he's gone, right? All right, we've got the name of the, here's your question, Jeffrey. You got to get it right. The name of what prehistoric creature is derived from the root words that mean wing finger? The name of what prehistoric creature is derived from the root words that mean wing finger?
All right, I'm pretty confident on this one. Pterodactyl.
Very confident. Very, very correct. That silent P there for pterodactyl. Congratulations, Jeffrey. You won.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Russell, I've got your information, so your prize will be coming. We always appreciate you playing.
Okay, no problem. At least I was close again.
Went literally down to the very last question. We haven't had one of those in a while.
Yes, congratulations on a well-played game there, Russell. Jeffrey, this was Silent Night. It's a sample of a round. So when we say Quizmas, we're going to have a lot of holiday questions. We're also going to have a lot of fun like this. So you go to SerenaEntertainment.com, find out where we're playing Quizmas this holiday season. Every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday up until Christmas Eve, you can come out, play for free. Prizes include Starry Nights tickets on every single night, as well as gift cards. And, of course, the winning trivia team, as always, with a Cerrito trivia event. If you win a trivia night, you will qualify to compete for $1,000 cash at the Cerrito Trivia Tournament of Champions. It's coming up in January, so you're running out of time to qualify. Might as well do it here during the holiday season. Get a chance to win $1,000 cash in January, courtesy of Jack Pertle's Chicken and Feeling Memphis. Again, CerritoEntertainment.com. See the full schedule and come on out tonight and hear one or more of these questions as we'll have a round of Silent Night just for you.
And then also we will have 901 Wrestling returning on January the 5th. We can get tickets at 901wrestling.com as well.
Right, yes, 901 Wrestling done for the year, but we'll be back at Minglewood Hall on January the 5th. It's New Year's bang, so no better way to start the year. So just a few days after New Year's, get back out and about, and we get the title on the line. Kevin Bless will be defending the 901 Wrestling Championship, that top title in the territory, against Tyler the Lion LeMasters, who won the 901 Wrestling Classic. That's your main event. More matches to be announced soon. 901wrestling.com tickets. They are on sale now.
Kevin, we appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you. I'll see you on Wednesday, Jeffrey.
That is Kevin Cerrito, CerritoEntertainment.com, for all of the live events where you can play trivia games and more. We come back, we will get into a couple other headline stories. We'll do all that next right here on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
That's right. We got a Thursday night game, and it's a big one up in the NFC North. The Green Bay Packers will travel to Detroit to take on the Lions. Currently, right now, the Lions are 3.5-point favorites. The total is 51.5. Dan Campbell has the highest cover percentage of any coach with at least 10 games in NFL history at 48-27. He's been even better with the Lions at 44-19. That is the best 4-year cover stretch by any team in the Super Bowl era. However, Matt LaFleur, no slouch either. The Packers are 56-39 against the spread under LaFleur. Out of coaches to begin their career since 1966, LaFleur is tied for the third best cover percentage of a minimum of 59 games. As an underdog, Matt LaFleur, 22-9 against the spread, 18-13 outright. As an underdog, both are the best marks by any coach with at least 15 games in the Super Bowl era. However, if you're looking to back the Lions tonight, the Packers are 0-4 against the spread against teams with a winning record this season, while the Lions are 12-3 in their last 15 games against the spread. Against the Packers, they're 6-1 in their last 7 home meetings, though the only ATS loss came last year on Thanksgiving when the Packers upset the Lions outright as an 8.5-point favorite. So again, you can watch that one tonight on Amazon Prime. Here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Drew Hill, Jermaine Johnson will join them today on the program. Eric Hastein, Jason Smith, going to join David Cobb and myself on Jeffrey Wright and Company. It's Thursday, so that means Jeff will be with Gabe and Connor, or beg your pardon, Gabe, George and Connor today on the Gabe Kuhn Show. I want to thank everybody for listening. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For Jeff, this is Jeffrey saying we'll try to do better tomorrow. Our work here is done.